Hi, everybody. Rick Dancer here, and we are going back to Oregon tonight for our show. Back to my old stomping grounds, which is completely interesting to me. EWEB is talking about getting rid of the Lieber Dam. And that would have devastating effects on businesses up and down the McKinsey that are already struggling after a fire 2 years ago and a fire where many people are evacuated right now. And so a local business owner contacted me and is going to chat with us a little bit about that in just a second here. I want to give credit to our sponsors. Now, one is BS Free MD, Tim and May, two doctors out of Sweet Home, Lebanon area. They do a podcast. They have a Doctails with Cocktails hour. And they cover issues that are rather controversial sometimes. And they always have some good content to bring up. And go check them out. Sign up for their newsletter. They're also, again, like I said, one of our sponsors. Also tonight, New Leaf Hyperbaric and Wellness Center. Matt McCarl over at New Leaf just got a new toy. It's a portable sauna that's infrared lights. You can sit in it and have that infrared effect on your body while at the same time getting that heat. It's their newest toy. Matt is not shy when it comes to getting things. He has lots of infrared light equipment, a light bed, and of course the hyperbarics and massage. So get a hold of him if you're looking for something like that. Also, Chris Dental Family Dentistry and Denture Center. Dr. Bratlin's one of our big sponsors. He believes in freedom of speech. Even if he disagrees with what you say, he still thinks you should have the opportunity to say it. He's anti-censorship and pro-America. And if you're looking for a dentist who represents what you believe, he's your guy. So he's your man. All right, let's get down to the topic here. I'm going to bring up many years ago, I did some videos for Nadine Scott and the folks up at the McKinsey. Nadine, welcome. It's good to have you here.
Thanks, Rick. Nice to see you again.
You too. So you called me the other day. I don't keep up on as much Oregon as I should. And when you told me this plan of EWEB's, I got to tell you, I went home to my wife and I said, do you know what EWEB's planning to do? Because they already screwed up the pond over by my house where it used to be, Camp Creek. They just let it go and it just grew over, and it used to be a beautiful pond out there. So tell me, what is this plan? And well, let's just start with that. What's the plan for what that EWEB's doing and why?
Well, the plan is to decommission the Leeburg power canals. They've been drained for several years now because they weren't up to the Fed regulations to relicense them. And they've decided for some reason to throw in removing the dam, and the hatchery, of course, will go away because the dam feeds the hatchery.
Right.
And then the lake. They want to drain the lake and put it back to the natural river. Well, my concern is, okay, if you can't relicense the Leeburg canals because it's too costly, that's fine. Decommission them, even though I think we should keep every bit of green power that we have and not be destroying it. But I think they should have two separate issues here. One is the, you know, producing power, electricity. And the other is, why are you taking out a dam that functions properly, that you just spent $5.6 million rebuilding the roll gates on? And then if the dam goes away, the hatchery goes away, and the dam has two fish ladders. And then the lake is a whole, you know, it wraps into this because tourism is the main economy in the McKinsey River Valley.
That really is your economy. I mean, you don't yeah. have anything else. There's lumber companies up there logging, but that doesn't provide a bunch of money for the business community.
No, it doesn't. And we did a transportation count through Lane County and ODOT, and there's 100,000 cars that come over that dam every year to visit the hatchery and the lake.
Wow.
which means like 200,000 people. And so if those 200,000 people go away, these businesses are going to be forced to close. And, you know, if businesses close, the housing market is going to plummet. And also Lane County is going to lose a bunch of taxes if, you know, the housing market goes down. So there's a lot of issues going on here. But one thing eWeb won't answer for us is, why are you wrapping this into one? Why isn't it two separate issues?
Because you've been riding them, haven't you?
Yeah, for over almost a year now, we've been going to their meetings and sending letters and doing interviews with their, you know, trying to do interviews with their commissioners, because we don't have a commissioner on their board that represents this area. They are city
council. That's nice.
Yeah.
Oh, because that's the... So the way this works is that's the city of Eugene, and the commissioners come from city of Eugene. So none of their decisions really affect their election base, because you guys have no voice.
We have no voice. No.
And so how much would it cost to tear out that dam? That's got to be, excuse the pun, but damn expensive.
Well, the total cost to decommission the canals and take out the dam is $220 million, and they don't even have all the answers or the facts yet. So that's a baseline.
So what's so weird to me is, in a time when right now, Portland General Electric has issued a warning to its customers up in the Portland area that the power grid is in danger of going down because of the hot weather. They're asking people to put their air conditioners at 78 degrees. And they're also asking people, they say it's so serious, they're asking them to take out any charging units for phones that aren't being used because it uses a tiny bit of electricity. Wow. So that sounds pretty desperate to me. And now you've got eWeb. Wouldn't it be, in an era where we're running out of energy sources, why would you not fix those dams and those waterways to get whatever energy we can, because it's not like it's infinite.
Well, and the thing is, you know, the dam does not produce power. So why are they taking the dam out is my question. You know, they say it's too costly to repair the canals, which it might be.
Right.
I haven't really done much research on that because I'm on a different, you know, mission, you might say.
Right. That's not your deal.
Yeah. Well, it is, because it's going to affect our area. You know, all the wells that now pump out of the canals are going to have to pump new wells, all those houses. And the...
Oh, seriously?
Yeah. And the water table there, one of the people has a blueberry farm down there. And he checked into pumping a well, and it would have to be a commercial well. And it was going to cost him $60,000. But they said, if you stay to surface water, we'll allow you to do that. But if you go hit groundwater, you can't use your well. So now he has to spend $60,000 and maybe not be able to use his well.
So here's a system set up for, you know, decades. Mm-hmm. And these property owners have counted on that system. And now an agency that doesn't really have anything to do with the McKinsey except for those spillways. And that just seems so wrong.
It is. And, you know, as far as like draining the lake and taking the dam out, I've been researching this quite a bit. In fact, Kurt Miller, who belongs to Northwest River Partners, did a presentation at their August 1st meeting on dams and fisheries. And basically what he said is, a dam that has a hatchery and fish ladders is beneficial to the salmon runs, because what's happening to the salmon is climate change and global warming in the ocean. So the oceans are warming up, so the salmons can't spawn properly and get up to the rivers like they're supposed to. So he was saying that it's absolutely necessary to, you know, for the salmon to continue, is to have hatcheries and fish ladders. So, you know, why are they taking that out? they say it's because they want better salmon runs, but you take that out, it's going to decline.
So what happens to the fishermen and all that? I mean, because for people who are watching who are outside of Oregon, the McKenzie River is kind of like the Missouri River in Montana. This is where fishermen go.
Yeah.
And it's wild fish and it's also stocked fish, but it's one of the purest water systems in the country. And there's hundreds of guides who make a living off that river and people renting rooms, renting little restaurants up and down, lots of cute little towns up and down the McKenzie. This is like a corridor of, 30 to 40 miles. And you've got lodges and all this stuff all up and down here. And I would guess the fishermen are concerned.
Well, it's a mixed emotions with the fishermen. I've talked to a lot of the guides. And some of them want it returned to the natural river because, well, I won't say because, but their business is based on people hiring them to take them down the river, rafting, fishing, boating, whatever it is. So they feel that that's going to increase their business if we don't have Leeburg Lake that all these people can use for free. But what I try to explain to them is that families that use this lake every year can't afford to hire you at $450
right.
a day to take them down the river. So the other side of it, when I've talked to some guides, they said, it's not Leeburg Dam that's hurting the salmon. It's Cougar Dam. Because when they rebuilt Cougar Dam up there, 10 years ago, they took out the fish passage. So now the young fish can't get over the dam anymore. So they're saying it's not Leeburg Dam, it's the Cougar Dam. So fish-wise, that's, I don't know a lot about it, but that's kind of what I've been learning, is that if you have a hatchery and fish ladders, that's a good thing and you shouldn't be destroying them.
So what do you think is behind all this, you personally?
I don't know, Rick. I wish I knew, because we go to these meetings with the commissioners and they won't answer our questions. They say it's not a Q&A session, it's a board agenda. And so they just don't reply to us. But the other major concern is, like right now with this fire going on, there's 56 homeowners that live over here across the dam and bridge. And there's no way out except that dam and bridge. So if they take the dam and bridge out, they're going to have to rebuild another bridge and another road. Which makes no sense to me, because you could maintain that dam and bridge for a fraction of the cost of building another road. And the thing, here's the real catch here, is what they've proposed is, you have to understand, one, that Leeburg Dam Road is now a one-lane road.
Right.
Lee Shore Drive Road is a one-lane road, and there's a water system under it. Good Pasture Bridge is a one-lane bridge that has horrible access to and from the highway.
Right.
Their proposal is to reroute the traffic, the homeowners, over the Good Pasture Bridge, up Lee Shore Drive, and then connect to Leeburg Dam Road. Well, what they don't know is there is a mountain in between those two roads.
Right.
400 acres that are owned privately. So first of all, you're going to have to widen two roads, and a lot of trucks can't get over the Good Pasture Bridge because they're too high. And then you have to blast out a mountain and buy private property from people when you could just keep that road and bridge and maintain it.
So do they, it's so government at work. You know what I mean? It's like, are you thinking through the entire process? It sounds like this is like a feel good to the environmental community to go, well, look, we're restoring the McKenzie to its natural phase. Well, we're way past that. It's been there forever. You've got homes in there and, you've got a fish ladder. You took the fish ladder. So you're inconsistent at best. Now I know EWEB doesn't own Cougar Dam. But we've got one government agency building a dam and taking out the fish ladder, another one taking out a fish ladder and a dam, hoping the fish will go back up the stream. But in the meantime, how do people get to their homes? And for people who don't know, so this is a dam with just a little tiny road on it. But there's a number of homes up in there, and that's how they get in there. And what Nadine's talking about is Good Pasture Island Bridge is a beautiful covered wooden bridge, but it's got a narrow entrance and it's wood. And you can, having that many cars going over that bridge, have they done the usual government feasibility study to find out what this is all going to do? They just come up with a cost. And do people even, I haven't heard anything about this. And usually I get complaints from my old Camp Creek neighbors. Do people not know this is going on?
They don't, Rick. You know, I have a boat on the lake and I go out probably 4 or 5 nights a week by myself because I call it my attitude adjustment hour.
With this stuff going on, you need one, huh?
I know. But I talk to people out there and I say, hey, you having fun? Yeah. You know, where are you from? Eugene. And so I'll say, well, do you know that EWEB is taking our lake out, draining our lake and taking the bridge and the dam out? And they're like, what? No. I'm like, and you know what? Who's going to pay that $220 million? You. The Eugene ratepayers are going to be paying for this and they don't even know about it.
You know? So the impact really affects you up the McKenzie. You have no voice. EWEB's customers who live in town are going to pay for the cost of this with increased rates, which are already going up because we've shut down coal plants in other parts of the country. We won't go to nuclear power because it's the cleanest and most efficient power you can get and actually the safest. So we won't do any of those things, but we'll make these what look like to me to be, I don't know if it's political, but it's maybe it's culturally sensitive things to get a pat on the back and make them look like they're doing something. But in the big picture, who's paying for it? The regular person. And
what
for feeling better, because is it really going to do that much to help the fishery?
And the other side of it is, Rick, there's several thousand EWEB ratepayers that live up the McKenzie, and we don't have a voice, and yet we're going to have to pay for this also.
Now, yeah, because I was on EWEB.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. Yeah. That's 100. I didn't even realize that. I lived on Camp Creek off the McKenzie River. Mm-hmm. I had EWEB power, but I could never vote for a commissioner.
Nope.
That's like taxation without representation, but it's not really taxation. But it's still, I don't think our founding fathers would approve of that.
Well, we approached him one time and we said, how do we get a voice on your board? And they said, you'd have to change the city charter. And I said, no, we shouldn't have to do that. Right. You should have to do that because you need to represent us out here. And they're like, they just laughed like, you're crazy, lady, go home.
So how do people in the chamber, because how many businesses do you have up there? I mean, I know you can't do, because there's Airbnbs, there's little lodges that don't belong, but how many that you know of does this impact?
I would say about 40, 45. Yeah.
And then in terms of what does that do to property values?
Well, that's my other point is, you know, my husband and I bought on the lake in 1997, I think it was, because we wanted to live on the lake. The lake is a very usable water for families and friends, whereas the McKenzie River is not. You know, it's cold and it's swift and it's dangerous. And we lived on the river before we came here. And so all these other people that bought on the lake bought for the same reason, so we can use the lake. And now they're going to take that away from us. And, it's going to devalue our properties. And like my husband and I, this was our retirement investment, you know. And so we're going to lose.
So what do you say to the people who are going to buy into the message that, well, it's going to be better for the fish?
It's not. Now that I know more about dams with hatcheries and fish ladders are going to be a necessity in the future, I don't agree with that at all. You know, I don't agree that taking the dam out is going to be better for the fish.
So isn't this just like humanity is, you know, you build a system, it's obviously working. So now you tear it down and then watch. In 10 or 15 years, they'll have to put a new fish ladder or something. Because how do you rebuild that to make it to make it like a regular stream and take that out? Well, I guess that's why it costs, what, $240 million.
And that's just the basis. They haven't even done their homework yet, and they'll tell you that.
Right. So that's just the basics to take out the dam and shut down the canal system. They aren't considering yet how much work's going to have to be done on the Goodpasture Island Bridge, on the road that takes people down there, and then getting that road past that mountain. How much do they have to pay those property owners, and how that affects them too? Because if they, you know, they'll pay a market value, but they're going to, you know, what is that when they do, when they basically, you know, force you to let them bring their road through there?
Yeah,
they'll use condemnation to do this. So all the shit you're stirring up, not you, them, and you don't even really know the total price tag. So where are they with this vote? Like, is it a done deal?
Yeah, I do want to interject one thing, is that EWEB owns the dam and the bridge, but the county maintains the road. So the county would be responsible for furnishing us ingress egress after they remove all this. But in the meantime, they're going to have to build something first, because we have to have a way to get in and out of our homes.
So that would be the county would have to build that?
Yeah.
Oh, so that's good, because that brings all the taxpayers in Lane County into the billing system. So now you've got the city of Eugene, who the people who get EWEB power and pay the rate are going to have to pay for this, that dam removal. Then the people of Lane County, including Cheshire, Florence, you guys up McKenzie Bridge, everybody's going to have to pay for whatever new road system is figured out. And then if they have to do some work to the Goodpasture Island Bridge and or that road and or get that condemnation proceedings, that's all going to probably happen through the county.
Yes, it will. And, you know, I talked to a road builder and I said, how much do you think it would cost to put a new bridge and road over the river, lake, whatever it is going to be? And he said, at least $10 million.
And you know what, Nadine? I don't think they could find approval. They can't tear down the Goodpasture Island Bridge because that's too historic.
And actually, it's not Goodpasture Island Bridge. It's Goodpasture.
Oh, okay. Goodpasture Bridge. They couldn't tear that down because that's historic. People would come unglued. There'd be a riot, as there should. And but for them, I would love to see them get permission from the Forest Service or anyone to build another bridge over the McKenzie River. I don't think you'd get it. I don't think the government would allow it. I don't think the environmental community. So you're basically screwing yourself either way you go by removing that bridge and that dam.
And you know, you could maintain it for the next 100 years for a fraction of the cost of removing it.
But see, that doesn't give you the virtue signaling. And that virtue signaling is worth a lot of money to an elected official.
I know.
So what's the next step? Where's it? Has this passed or is this still in being?
No, they, at the August 1st meeting, they approved the plan. Now they said it could take years to research the plan and figure out what they really need to do, which, I mean, this is ridiculous, but
it's unbelievable.
I said to them at one meeting, I asked him like 3 times, have you checked to see if there's asbestos in that dam? Because in the 30s, when these dams were built, a lot of them were built from Portland Cement Company, and they added asbestos to the cement to make it stronger and, you know, more porous and all that. And so they just ignored me. So finally, this last time, I said, have you checked into the asbestos end of it? And they said, oh, no, that's way down the line. We'll do that, you know, years from now. And I'm like, excuse me, that's going to be a huge expense if there's asbestos in there. And it's going to affect the fish, the water, the air, the people, everybody, you know.
And people wonder why we spend so much money through government waste. It's because you got people making decisions that don't know what the hell they're doing.
$35, you could go down and get a tablespoon of that cement and take it into Springfield and have it tested for asbestos. And then we'd all be a lot more comfortable.
Well, and then they can go to plan B if they figure out this isn't going to work. But it's like what they're going to do is here's plan A and they're going to keep going. Oh, well, we got to find another study and another thing, spend all this money. When you get to the end and find out you really can't do it because it's too expensive, when they could have been putting that money into something else. I mean, God, what in the?
And, you know, I don't know if I told you, but they just a couple of years ago spent $7.6 million building a substation in Leeburg. And now that's not going to be used.
Well, the good news for the ratepayers is now at least you know why your rates are going up so much. I think it's called stupidity.
Yeah, I know.
So Nadine, what has your county commissioner had to say about any of this? Have you talked to her?
I have talked to her quite a bit, and she said that they're researching these things. We've asked them to come to eWeb meetings. No one has showed up yet, although Heather Buck is our commissioner up here, and she is going to come to our next meeting because we're holding meetings right now at my Vita Windermere office the second Tuesday of every month. And so we're going to try and get her involved in this. I've invited representatives, Congress people, no one shows up.
No, they don't care.
No. We even last September, I think it was September, October, we had a big Save the Lake parade on the lake. And we invited, media, TV, newspaper, radio, everybody. And they all said, yeah, we'll be there. And the only one that showed up was Ken from River Reflections, which is the local newspaper.
Yeah, they're really busy covering underwater basket weaving and the latest indictment, and they got way more important things to do than a truly environmental story and a ratepayers for people. So why did you call me?
To get the word out. We need to get this exposed. You know, I talk to people all the time that know nothing about it, and you know, the TV stations won't come out and interview us. The Register Guard does nothing about it. I called KUGN and they said, oh, it doesn't really sound like something we're interested in. I'm like, excuse me? You know, it's crazy. This is affecting a lot of different issues, you know, not just the lake and the dam and, you know, taking away power, but property values and tourism and the economy. And
well, and that, the farmers that you're talking about up there too, their water, I'd be super. And anybody that lives on a well knows that water rights are really, I mean, that's like, you know, that's like gold.
Yeah.
And if you lose that, you know, what's that guy supposed to do with this blueberry farm? If the water table and the agreement he's had all these years to use that water is somehow changed because eWeb makes this decision. It seems to me that if they make a decision that impacts somebody like that, they should have to do the restitution to make sure he's good with what he gets. You know what I mean? If you're changing it, then to me, the decent thing to do, but the problem is this guy isn't a Eugene Water and Electric Board voter. So it doesn't matter. Wow. Okay. So it sounds like what needs to change is mainly, that they have to, you got to get some kind of commissioner that represents other, and really that would be the McKinsey River, because it would be like where I was, Camp Creek, and all the way up. If you have eWeb power, you need to have a voice on that commission. And that's to me, that's where I would be pushing really hard, going to the county commissioners, going to the state and saying, we need this change because now we're seeing how this affects us. And then when those people start doing this kind of crap, you can vote them out. But right now you got nothing. They don't have to pay attention to you and they know it.
Yeah.
And so if you guys could firm that up and get that changed, it seems to me, and it sounds like you got a little time, Because honestly, Nadine, what I think will happen, they're going to get into it. But the problem is the government will come up with a grant to pay for it. And then they'll just charge it back to the people of Lane County and the taxpayers. But that's how I'd do it. And I think ratepayers in Eugene, is this what you want to pay right now in a time when agencies are asking you to reserve your energy and they're cutting back on other kinds of energy? And so you're going to take out a dam and raise your rates so that some virtue signaling agency can feel good about the fish? Poppycock. All coming to roost. Nadine Scott, thank you for being brave enough. I know we'd ask some other people to come on and people kind of hesitate, but you know, I'm reading a lot these days about bravery and courage, and it's a rarity, and you do get slammed a lot for it, and yeah. You get beat up, and I'm sure you have experienced that.
Yes.
But you know what? In the end, the truth sets us free, and it's and I hope that anybody, I'll mention some stuff as I get off of here, but thank you for bringing this to our attention, and
you're welcome.
Let me know if anything changes and we'll put you back on here. Okay.
Okay. Thanks, Rick.
All right. See you later. All right. There you go. Eugene ratepayers. If you're an eWeb customer, newsflash, your rates will be going up to pay for removal of a dam and the closure of a couple of canals. But there's good news. All of Lane County will end up paying through the nose when they have to build a new road, try to get a new bridge on, which they won't, so that'll fail, and buy a mountain so they can put a road through so people can get to their property. It's your government at work, always thinking ahead and charging you for their stupidity. I'm Rick Dancer. Thank you for joining us. Thank you, Dr. Michael Bratlin, for sponsoring us. Thank you, Matt McCarl at New Leaf Hyperbarics and Wellness Center for sponsoring us, and BS Free MD, Tim and May. Thank you for sponsoring. Here's some BS Free right here, Tim and May. All right. Have a good day. Thursday, great conversation with a man, a former friend of mine, Bill Heiser. Had a really rough life and has turned it around and found a new life in Texas. It's an interesting story. You're going to love it. He's a super honest guy, so prepare yourself. He'll tell you the truth. I know. That's so weird, isn't it? People who tell the truth. Isn't that why you watch? And send your hate mail to eWeb commissioners in care of Rick Dancer and Nadine Scott. Good night.